Pirates are on top of the Reds 4-3. Orioles right now lead the Rangers 8-3. That's in the eighth inning. Reds and Pirates, by the way, in the ninth inning. Marlins taking it to the White Sox 9-0 right now in favor of the Fish, playing in the seventh inning, while the Blue Jays hold a 1-0 lead on the Rockies in the sixth. Heading to the seventh, it's the Nationals 2, Phillies 1. Cards and Mets scoreless in the fourth. Brewers and Rays tied up at 2 apiece. Bryce Tarang, a 2-run shot. Astros and Red Sox tied up at 2 in the third. Cubs just got on the board, taking a 1-0 lead on the Astros in the third inning. NFL Players Association released a statement in support of NFL referees as they continue their labor dispute with the league. Iowa State assistant Kyle Green will be the new men's basketball coach at Northern Iowa.
Fox Sports update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Pass Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, a man-made food source provided honeybees a nutritious diet at a commercial scale over the course of two winters, according to a new study at Washington State University. MorningAgClips.com reports the study, published in the journal Insects, looked at the new feed used by five commercial beekeepers in California and Idaho from the fall of 2022 to spring of 24. The nutritionally complete feed was developed by Apex Biosciences in Belgium. Well, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, says fertilizer components like urea spiked 25% last month, and ammonia, phosphate, sulfate, and potassium have sharply eroded what little profit margin exists. Klobuchar says four companies control more than three-quarters of the nitrogen fertilizer in the U.S. and 100% of the potash and phosphate markets. She says that increased fertilizer concentration has put farmers in a really tough spot. And the Renewable Fuels Association welcomed an EPA decision to allow uninterrupted sales of lower-cost E15 this summer. With rising gas prices, year-round sales of E15 will help American drivers save money at the pump, strengthen the rural economy, and boost energy independence. The RFA thanked the EPA and White House for announcing waivers that will allow continued sales of E15 at almost 5,000 gas stations across the country.
If you're looking for this country's best bulls, then head to Midland Bull Test in south-central Montana for the final sort bull sale April 2nd and 3rd. Bulls backed by measurement, not marketing. You'll find America's largest source of efficiency tested bulls representing the top 5% from over 100 nationwide consigners. On Thursday, Saleer, Simmentals, Herefords, Limflex, Pinscour, and Red Angus sell, and on Friday, all Black Angus. Visit MidlandBullTest.com for performance data, sale catalogs, and to register to bid online.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are advancing for a second day as investors digest fresh economic data and try to anticipate an end to the Iranian conflict by piling into risk and momentum stocks. The Dow entered into correction territory last week, but it's having its best three-day stretch in nearly a year. In terms of oil prices, U.S. crude is down around $99 a barrel, while Brent crude is around $101 as a result of declining oil prices. Shares of Chevron and ExxonMobil are dropping. Tech stocks are among the best performers, with the the Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks. Higher across the board, airline stocks are taking off on easing crude prices. However, Nike stock is plunging 15% and trading near 11-year lows. The sportswear giant beat third quarter earnings and revenue expectations, but said that it expects sales to fall between now and the end of the year. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
When a documentary deals with fiction rather than fact, it really isn't a documentary, is it? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
The very word documentary makes you think of research and of factual material painstakingly collected. And those who read or see a documentary are entitled to believe they've been given an objective, thoroughly documented treatise on whatever the subject might be. Not too long ago on this program, I discussed Cuba and gave some requirements I thought should be met before Uncle Sam welcomed that unhappy island back into the family of American nations. Now, that was an editorial, an expression of opinion with which you could agree or disagree. Since then, one of our TV networks has presented, with a certain amount of fanfare, a, quote, documentary, unquote, and question mark. It was called Cuba, the People. Was it really a documentary, or was it an editorial? Basically, the message was that soon Cuba will no longer be an underdeveloped country thanks to the success of socialism. The question is, how and when did Cuba become an underdeveloped country? Prior to Castro, Cuba led all its Latin neighbors in standard of living, literacy, and any number of other desirable indicators. For example, Cuba had more doctors in proportion to population, more automobiles, higher per capita income, more TV broadcasting and ownership of TV sets, more newspaper circulation, and even greater attendance at movies. In moviegoing, they were second only to us, which means they were second in the world. The so-called documentary was of Cuba today. It showed farmers plowing with oxen. Now, I don't know how widespread that is, but mechanized farming had reached a pretty high level back in Cuba, B.C., before Castro. Let me read some lines from what has to be considered a real documentary. A report issued in May 1962 by the Economic Research Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The report was entitled, Agriculture and Food Situation in Cuba. Quote, in 1958, Cuba was self-supporting in many foodstuffs such as meat, poultry, fish, eggs, milk, butter, tubers, vegetables, coffee, and fruits, of which there was a great variety and abundance. In the season, oranges were sold in pushcarts in Havana, peeled, iced, and ready to eat at 3, 4, or 5 for a nickel. Under communism, food ration cards were introduced before the third year of the revolution expired. Oranges have become so scarce that they can only be purchased in pharmacies with a doctor's prescription. Unquote. I don't know whether the makers of the documentary intended to sell us socialism or whether they were just set up by their Cuban hosts, but a truly objective documentary would have made it plain that the Cuba of today is not anywhere near as well off or economically sound as it was before Castro imposed communism on the people. Indeed, there's every reason to believe Cuba would be in real trouble without the sizable subsidy it gets from the Soviet Union. These days, when we're flooded with so many words on every subject, we need to check out some of those words before we accept them as gospel, including the use of the word documentary. And that goes for my words, too. Make sure you've heard all the facts before you make up your mind. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons.
Can you get me?
Okay. Oh, we're on.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I was having a little, making sure that I'm on the air. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And I will tell you, it put up a pretty dramatic story yesterday. It had to do with a man currently going to trial for lighting his father on fire, and it eventually killed him. Called from jail, and we did a jailhouse interview, and he explained how he did it, why he did it, and what happened. And so it's he hasn't even testified at court. He testifies on Friday, but he wanted me to have the testimony earlier than he told the court, so you can hear the man's testimony or read the man's testimony. It is absolutely fascinating. It was a man in Lompoc that in, I think it was 2022, got in an argument with his father and lit his father's hair on fire. And then the father ended up, he saw that it was getting out of control, so he tried to put it out with orange juice. And it's an odd story. I recommend you go on and watch. But today we're going to get into a number of things. First of all, I have former election law attorney, I think the top one the state has had probably ever, knows the law very well, Chuck Bell. He is now retired. He has agreed to come on the show and go over a number of things that I wanted to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about SLOCOG and the tax that they're promoting. We're going to talk a little bit about Elaine Kano and a news brief that she sent out. We're going to talk about a judgment with the state of California for $4.5 million yesterday regarding gender identity. And I was at the hearing for Gaya Powell. I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened at her preliminary hearing today. Chuck, thank you very much for coming on the show.
I'm glad to be here, Karen.
And on this, can you explain to the public what the SLOCOG tax is?
Yes, the proposal is for a half-cent sales tax on a special tax. If you can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay. Special tax for roads and transportation. It's similar to Measure J, which was on the ballot in 2016 and was narrowly defeated on a two-thirds vote requirement for special taxes that is provided for in Proposition 13.
this matter has been under consideration about every 2 years since 2016 when the measure failed. And it's a substantial tax. The proposal, I believe, is to generate up to $700 million in revenue over the course of the tax. And again, it's a sales tax. That does apply to citizens of the county. I guess the relevant thing is that there are actually two options that are pending here. The first is that the SLOCOG itself has been working for some time to come up with a proposal that would overcome both the problems that they faced when they lost it in 2016, narrowly, and to respond, I think, to some of the concerns about that in terms of how the funds proposed to be allocated among the jurisdictions that participate. As you know, you have seven counties or seven cities, as well as the members of the Board of Supervisors who are represented on SLOCOG. And this version slightly improves the allocation, if you will, or the spreading dollars around among those jurisdictions, as well as for projects in the unincorporated area of the county, which the Board of Supervisors is more concerned about.
And one of the things they did get was six of the cities councils voted for it because they're going to get some of the funding, but Pismo Beach said absolutely not.
Well, Pismo Beach had, I believe, has a measure that they have on the ballot, and I think the concern that they have, I haven't really followed it that closely, but I think the concern is that they believe with two measures on the ballot, it would jeopardize their own proposal to increase the sales tax locally. The other almost more interesting piece of this is that because of the two-thirds vote requirement and because state Supreme Court and lower courts have, although not unequivocally, made pretty clear that a citizen-proposed measure is contrasted with the SLOCOG measure, which would be government-proposed, is now, at least for the time being, subject to a 50% plus one rather than a two-thirds vote requirement to pass it. So a group of local businesses and individuals, some of whom, by the way, were involved with the SLOCOG effort in 2016, have proposed a very similar measure. And I think that what's likely to happen here is that that measure has to get a sufficient number of valid signatures to qualify by about August the 1st for the ballot. If they should qualify, I suspect that the SLOCOG measure will be pulled back from the ballot, and they'll allow that one to go forward because it's in substance nearly the same. And it has the advantage of requiring only a 50% plus one majority vote to pass.
So do you know who these citizens are? And do you know, are they getting close? And who are the people that are doing this?
I haven't followed it that closely. There are some local business leaders, some people involved in the construction industry in particular, who would benefit from the road funding that the measure would provide for, and other, you know, local businesses and groups that are believe that the $700 million amount of revenue that would be raised is necessary to deal with the road situation in this county, and that it would also entitle the county to get the benefit of some of the additional funding, which state law provides for self-help counties, quote unquote. Self-help counties are those that have agreed to, you know, go forward and adopt their own local road tax measures that would, you know, work together with state money to provide for additional funding.
What amount of state money do they get for their own per funding?
That's a good question. It's a fairly substantial amount. It's not equivalent to what the county would generate over the period of the application of this tax, but it is a substantial amount. The argument is made that some of the surrounding counties that are self-help have obtained sufficient or additional funds to fund road improvements and so on. Among the objections to and some of the considerations about how this measure would operate are, of course, the local jurisdictions wanted a more definitive allocation of funds from the proceeds of the measure if it passes that they can devote to their local roads. There are other interests that have been concerned and involved with these kinds of things in the past. For example, the bicyclists have always been very involved politically. San Luis Obispo City is a good example of that. But they were involved in the development of the SLOCOG proposal in 2016. They're involved in this one, and they have an interest in getting additional bike lanes and so on. In addition, public transit also would get a piece of this, as it was proposed in 2016 in the Measure J that was defeated. So, I think the politics of it are that if the citizen-sponsored measure can qualify, then it would probably get the green light over the SLOCOG measure because of the lower vote threshold required to pass it. And that's, I think, the politics of it. You know, the interesting thing now about getting measures to qualify by petition is that at present, we're in the final stages of qualification efforts at the state level for a number of measures. And you know, there's the so-called billionaires measure, and there are several of them that would compete with the wealth tax that's being proposed for the November ballot. I've been told that those measures are, proponents of them are paying as much as $17 per signature for signatures at that level. Well, the economics of this is that your person out at the table at the supermarket is a little private entrepreneur himself or herself sitting there. And so what they do is the ones that pay the most get the best treatment at their table. The ones that are paying $17 an hour get better treatment than the ones that are paying $14 an hour, for example. And if the local folks can afford to play with the big boys locally, they're going to get a good treatment by those local vendors. I don't know what they're paying. I'm not involved with their campaign. I suspect, though, that the market prevails in these situations. And if they want to be in the top tier of petitions on that signer's table to sign, that they're going to have to be paying pretty good money. And so qualification is dependent on them getting, I think, around 18,000 raw signatures. Of course, a portion of those are always invalid, so you have to consider that maybe 2/3 of the to maybe 70% of the ones that of the signatures.
What's the actual number required?
Well, it's a statutory measure. Basically, I think it's they have to get 10% of the registered voters, or 8% of the registered voters of the county.
You know, one of the things I find interesting, for example, they had people doing signature gathering in Paso Robles for the to get rid of paid parking. They paid not a dime. And people were asking them to please, stopping them. And someone told me they went into a thrift store in town and they said it over the loudspeaker. Anyone that wants to sign this, come up. They got it in probably a third of the time and they did not pay a dime. But then you see these ones that pay. And when my youngest daughter was in high school, she was going to Slow High School. She came home one day and she said, I got a job. And I said, you got a job? And they hired her. She was 15 or 16. She wasn't legally old enough. And they hired her to collect signatures fighting against the Lidio's project over when he was trying to put that project in. And she said, everybody signs. My daughter was cute as a button, very sweet. But she said, I was supposed to figure out if they were for or against the project. And if they were against the project, I said, you could stop it by signing this. And if they were for the project, I was to tell them, this will give you a chance to vote on it. And she said, it really is working and I'm making a lot of money. And I said, you're not legally allowed to do it the way you're doing it. You're not old enough and you're not going back. But I was stunned. As a reporter, I was very stunned.
Well, incidents that are a problem with the signature collection and misrepresentations made by the circulators. I think most of the groups that are seeking to do that, you know, want to limit that because there's some adverse exposure.
Yeah.
If your circulators are doing that. Mind you, these people are independent contractors at the grassroots level. They're the ones that are at the tables. And they get some instructions about what they should not say and cannot say. It's not something that's enforced. Sometimes you can get a black eye. For example, this billionaires group that's trying to fight the wealth tax by proposing other measures that would be on the ballot against it, apparently hired some people in San Francisco, and you know that this was a matter of national and local publicity as well, where they were actually asking them to sign in the name of people it was real people, but a fraudulent thing. So a woman, an 80-year-old woman in Avila Beach's name was given by the circulator at the table in San Francisco, where a group of, I think, homeless people had lined up because they were offered $5 for signature. And when the woman got to the desk, there just happened to be someone videoing this. The name of this 80-year-old Avila Beach woman was given, and I assume they had petitions that were for San Luis Obispo County. How many other people may have been had their names used in that way, I don't know.
Well, I will tell you, I looked at the list. It appeared to be far-to-the-left progressives who would not be signing that. Including Bob Cuddy, a former Robert Cuddy was on there, former Tribune reporter and very, very on the left side, and he was on there. So I did check out who these people were, and they were people that would never have signed that. You know, they may have signed that. I can't say they would never, but this was not their target audience. Right. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the table?
Hi, I just thought it'd be a good idea to check these supposedly independent subcontractors to see if they have a business license and liability insurance, and some of the other rules to be an independent subcontractor is pretty heavy duty. That's all I got.
We're going to take a break for Herd Pumps.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
With the big beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com. Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host, on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Sorry about the closing. I took a gulp of water and took it down the wrong pipe and was having a moment there. On this taxing, one of the things I want to bring up, Templeton right now is wanting to spend, John Pichon called in and said the total cost is probably going to end up being $30 million. It is going to be a one-mile stretch. They want to increase a mile in the middle of a bike lane between Templeton and Atascadero, a little bike path, kind of like the Bob Jones Trail. And they're trying to say it's actually a connector that people will take to work. Said the same thing to get road taxes for the Bob Jones Trail. But there's two major bridges. I think the bridges are going to be very expensive. So why they're doing this, they're talking $30 million, up to $30 million, according to John Pichon, going toward a mile of a bike trail when the roads are potholes and breaking.
Well, I think this probably has as much to do with the politics of getting support in the slow cog proposal, and the other one that's the same, but it's being citizen circulated, and so it's I think basically getting the coalition that you want in support of it. Getting the incorporated cities was important. They did that in 2016. Incidentally, in 2016, I was working. I'm a board member of the Central Coast Taxpayers Association here, and I'm now on the state board of Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. But we had a real concern about the way Slow Cog conducted that campaign. Many of your listeners may have been around, but basically they created the most expensive color black, you know, as a color brochure, if you will. It was about 22 pages long. They called it a supplemental ballot pamphlet, and it was basically a paid public advertisement for a vote yes on Measure J. We complained to the Fair Political Practices Commission, which has suddenly woken up on the subject of government agencies spending public funds to promote a ballot measure. Subsequent to that time, the city of Los Angeles got dinged to the tune of about $1.5 million for some very blatant public ads in support of the homeless tax in Los Angeles. But the fact is that even though it was one of the highest FPPC fines imposed on a jurisdiction for violating the law, misuse of public funds, the return on investment in terms of what they had to pay, $1.5 million to get a $1 billion measure passed, actually made it the kind of penalty that, unless there were some jail sentences imposed along with that, paled in comparison to the cost of or the value of the measure that they used the funds to pass it with. So one of the things that I would be concerned about here is whether Slow Cog is going to stay away from that approach to using taxpayer funds to fund a basically a glossy campaign brochure to pass this measure if it's on the November ballot. The other thing I would say about this, which is very interesting, is at the same time as this measure will be voted on in November, if it's the citizen-sponsored one as opposed to the Slow Cog-sponsored one, which requires a two-thirds majority, the one that requires a simple majority is on the same ballot, will be on the same ballot as Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Save Proposition 13 measure. That measure is specifically focused on the loophole that the California Supreme Court and appellate courts created that have allowed has allowed 50% plus one majority vote for special taxes when a citizen group puts it on the ballot, as opposed to two-thirds. Everything about Prop 13 has been two-thirds vote requirements for special taxes, including property taxes. And so if both measures pass, I predict there may be some litigation over whether the local one, which is statutory and local, would prevail in the face of the Prop 13, Save Prop 13 measure, which restores the two-thirds vote requirement for all special tax measures, including those citizen initiated ones.
We're going to take our top of the hour break and be back with more with Chuck Bell. We're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about some campaigning, apparent campaigning coming out of the clerk's office. And again, we're going to talk about a judgment regarding gender identity. And I was at the hearing today for Gay Appel. I'll bring a little bit of information forward on that.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.